Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you and to be able to move forward in the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. And we're going to get started this morning. Wow, is all I can say. Wow, that's just how it works. God gives us great word because his word is true. And to know that God's word is true. Whatever the Lord says he will do, he will do. But he is our refuge. He is our God, and we must trust in him. Got to trust in God. Whatever you're going through, trust in God. And I promise he will make a way out of no way. He will make a way out of no way. Because he's just that kind of God. So thank you, God, this morning for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, and for his kindness toward us. Father God, as we get ready to go through your word, I ask you, Lord, to remove anything not like you from our minds, hearts, and spirits. Lord God, I ask you to cleanse us with hyssop. God, I ask you to guide us and lead us into the direction you want us to go this morning. As we go through your word, let it touch our hearts, touch our minds, and touch our spirits, that we will want to be more like you, that we will rush in to the cliff of the rock to be hidden in the safety of your loving wings. Lord God, we lift up the name of Jesus this morning. As we go through his word, go through your word, go through the words of the laws and the prophets, go through the word, Lord God, that it will guide us and lead us even today. But we know, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us and guide us. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, that it will be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my refuge and my strength. And it's in you, Lord God, that I trust, that I believe, and that I know everything will get better after a while. Thank you, Father God, again for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, ready to go to work for you. For we know, Lord God, that the harvest is plentiful and the labors are few. For, Lord God, allow me to be a laborer in your vineyard to work the harvest that is to come. But Lord, we know that we have got to get out of the four walls of the church. And we have to come and go to work. So Father, as we go to work this morning, again, I lift up the name of Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray, believing and trusting that this word is true and divinely inspired, that it is the basic instruction before leaving earth, so that we will be ready to walk into the banquet, that we will be brides prepared and not unprepared. In Jesus' name, amen. We ought to be prepared brides. We got to be ready with our oil. Hallelujah. Because the wedding feast and the groom is coming. And we have to be ready. you, God, again for the word this morning. Thanking him for his grace and his mercy. Thanking him for answered prayers. You know, I feel like she belongs to all of us. Little Simone Biles won bronze when she got back on the balance beam. I believe it was on Monday. And she won. And I'm proud of her because she had to go on a consecration. She had to take some time to get her mind and body back in sync. So thanking God that he was answering prayers, because I know that many of people of God were praying for her as she was being vilified and talked about and mistreated in the media. People of God were praying that we go through. We go through mental situations, and it is nothing but God that will take us where we need to go. It is God that will guide us. It is God that will take us and lead us and guide us. So I thank God that this little girl was able to get strength to get back on that beam. Even though she won bronze, it's all right, because she's won many, many, many gold medals. So to get a bronze was fine, because she still got on the stage. She still won a medal as she gets her mind and her spirit in sync. Because understand, it is no easy job to do what these children do that are at these Olympics. But we have to understand their safety must come first. Their safety must come first. And as she said, she had the twisties and she didn't know, she couldn't concentrate on where she was. I don't know if any of you have ever been on anything that makes you go round and round or up and down. Everything gets a little off track. So can you imagine turning on the floor, being up in the air, going over and over and over, and not knowing where to land? I get sick just going up and down hills. I would just be honest. Branson is not my favorite place, mainly because of the hills. That when you drive, you're going up a hill, and then you're coming down the hill, and then up and down. It's like you're on a roller coaster, going around the hills and the mountains up in that area. I don't like it. I could not live in Seattle. I could not live in places that are so hilly. Chattanooga and me would not agree. So understand that to have to be doing it, flipping and turning up in the air, and then you got to stop and stand and in a spot and be there where you land perfectly. So I am grateful, thankful that God answered our prayers, that this baby is feeling better, that she was able to compete. And understand that by her not competing and not having a prideful moment where even though I'm not feeling my best, I'm going to ruin it for my team by getting out there because I'm Simone. She didn't do that. Instead, she set back. And by her setting back, her team came in and many won gold and did very well silver because she sat down when she was not at her best. And we have to know that when we're not at our best, we need to sit down. We need to take a minute. We need to go into consecration. We need to just back up for just a little while until God gets our mind, our body, and our soul in sync. In all of that, we must trust in God. Today, we're going to do it a little different. We're going to read our psalm first because our title is coming out of Psalms 91. And I don't know about you, but Psalms 91 does something to my soul. It's that place I go, that scripture I read when I just need some time with God. And when we got to it this morning, I was like, wow, God, thank you. Thank you. This is a perfect word. You know, as we all know, we went through a up and a down in Esther on yesterday, and we're getting ready to finish up Esther this morning. And then we start another rough book, the book of Job. And it is a rough book because it deals with faith. We got to have that Job kind of faith when folks are going through. You know, we can't complain about going through. And when you're going through, read Job. Then you appreciate your blessings. Then you appreciate that God has blessed you because you're not going through that Job stuff, losing your children, losing everything, but never losing faith in God. And we can't lose faith now. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is our faith that gets us through to grace. Hallelujah. So trust God today. And as we read the Psalms, Psalms 91, we're only going to be reading verses 1 through 6 today and Proverbs chapter 22, verse 12. And then we'll read the cement word, which is coming out of Esther 9 and 10. And then we'll be back in Romans chapter 6. And the word of God spoken to David, or prayed by David, in Psalms 91. And again, it's one of those words that touches your spirit. So if you want to join me in Psalms 91, you know, and it says safety of abiding in the presence of God. If you want to sum it up on what this means, this whole chapter is safety of abiding in the presence of God. We are safe when we abide in the presence of God. And the word of God is, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust. Anthony Brown in group therapy put a song out a few years ago. I will trust in you, Lord. And we got to have that trust in God. And I read it again, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he, not me, not my friend, not boo-booing him down the street, not my mother, not my father, sisters, or brothers, but God, the Lord. And it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. I will trust in you, Lord. No matter what I'm going through, I will trust in you, Lord. We got to have that in our spirit. I will in you, Lord. And surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I said again, his truth, not my truth, not my pastor's truth, not the bishop's truth or the apostle's truth, but God's truth, his truth, shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Come on now. We're going through right now the pestilence, this virus that's out there killing people. It's a pestilence. But understand, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. The Lord God is with us because he said so. He said it in his word. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we stand on the word of God. In everything we do, we stand on God's word and watch God work in your life. I will serve the Lord. We got to have that Joshua spirit. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to serve God in whatever we do. If you are a street cleaner, you street clean for the Lord. If you are a plumber, you plumb for the Lord. If you are a singer, you sing for the Lord. If you are a dancer, you dance for the Lord. If you are in the ministries of help, you help in the house of the Lord. Whatever you're bent, do it for the Lord. When people see you, they should have a smile on their face because you got a smile on yours. Because you're a happy person. And you're happy to be a child of God. And our Proverbs for this morning is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. You can't be faithless. Esther was not faithless. Mordecai was not faithless. They knew that God could do it, and they never, through the whole book of Esther, the word God is never spoken. It is just known. Prayer is never spoken. It's just done. And again, as the word of God says, in a life lesson from Dr. Stanley, from Psalms 91 and 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Sometimes it will feel as if our nights are filled with terror, and that we do have figurative arrows flying at us by day. Yet when we find our security in the Lord, they do not have to terrify or intimidate us. He is our safety, and in him we find rest. Hallelujah. What a word. And I just got to read verse 2 one more time. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. I will trust in you, Lord. We got to say it every day. I will trust in you, Lord. And I know, Lord, that every bill will be paid. Everything that needs to be done will be done because I will trust in you, Lord. I can't do it by myself. You know, one of our deacons gave a testimony that he had to get a big job done. And he was trying to figure out, how am I going to do it? And he said, all I did was I just started calling on the name of Jesus. And when I looked around, it was done. We got to call on the name of Jesus when we got those big jobs that we got to do. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I need you every hour, every minute, every day. I need you. Hallelujah. And our word from Esther this morning. Whew, y'all ready for a ride? 'Cause let's just say this. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for our good. And what the enemy meant for even Haman, with his little evil self, had a sneaky snake spirit with his wife. Understand. Bam. What he meant for evil with that big old 50-cubic yellow on his lawn wind up being for him. And everything he had wind up going to Mordecai. Did Mordecai once falter and bow down, trembling to Haman? Not at all. He stood up because he knew who his father was, and he trusted in God. And it says in Esther chapter 9, and it says, now in the 10th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command that his decree be executed on the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. The opposite occurs in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their city throughout all the province of the king of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could withstand them because fear of them fell upon all people and all the officials of the province, the stirrups and the governors, and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, became increasingly prominent. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Shushan, the cathedral, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also, Pershah, Daphia, Dalphon, Aspatha, Horatha, Adela, Aradash, Paramas, Arashai, Aradai, and Vesjestha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay hands on the plunder. So the sons of Haman died. And it looks like probably the son of one of his friends, too, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan, the cathedral, was brought to the king. And the king said to King Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the cathedral and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's province? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done. And Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So the king commanded that this be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men of Shushan, but they did not lay hands on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's province gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies, killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. This was an This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar. And on the 14th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th day, and on the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in the province of King Assyria to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them. And understand that the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they all hanged, all 10 of them. So what Haman meant for evil, he wiped out his entire lineage because he wanted to do evil. We don't want to wipe out our lineage with vengeance and hatred. We got to lift up God and trust in him that he will make our enemies our footstools, that he will handle the situation when we trust in him. And again, they fasted and prayed. And understanding, and this I say it one more time, so the Jews accepted the custom which they begun as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman the son of Hammedatha, and I'm not saying that right, I don't believe, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast Pur, that is Lot, the Lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they called these days Purim, after the name Pur, meaning light. All the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this manner, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants, and all who would join them, that without fail, they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter from about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to 127 provinces of the kingdom of Assyria, with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim and their appointed times, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning manners of their fasting and lamentating. So the decree of Esther confirmed these manners to Purim, of Purim, and it was written in the book. King Assyria imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? But Mordecai the Jew was second to King Assyrius and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. Wow. I will trust God. And God came through for them. Mordecai had a I will trust God. Esther had a I will trust God. It's celebrated even to this day. Esther 9:1, the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Haman never lived to see the total reversal of his diabolical plan. What Satan intended to be a day of slaughter and mourning for the Jews, God turned it into a day of rejoicing and sending presents. The sky never grows so dark that God can't make a brilliant rainbow out of it. He loves to act on behalf of those who wait for him. Wow. God will send you a rainbow when you least expect it. I mean, from a rainstorm, my understanding, I wasn't there that night. I was ill. But a double rainbow was over my church after a really bad storm on a Thursday night. And when it came out and just happened to look up, there was a double rainbow over our church. Don't tell me what God can't do. A friend of mine, memorial was a few weeks ago, and he was a person that loved to be on the water and the lake and out skiing, and his family had a barbecue after the service. And it was the weirdest day. I mean, as we went into the memorial, sun shining beautiful. While we were in the memorial, it poured down rain. Came out of the memorial, sun is shining beautifully. Go to the repast. Looks like it's getting cloudy and gonna rain. Get in the repast, it pours down rain. Come out, the sun is out, but it still looks like it's going to rain again. And the barbecue was like around 4 o'clock or so. And between 2 and 4 after the repast and before the barbecue, it starts to pour down. I mean, when I say it poured down rain. And they had the barbecue, no rain. But in the mist, they look up, and there's like a fading rainbow. And then there's this brilliant, beautiful rainbow. And a friend of theirs took a picture of it. They're artists. And they put the picture side by side to represent my friend and his brother who had also passed on. And it was beautiful. But it was just a reminder to this family and to all of us that even in the mist, God sends a rainbow. You know, over my house, I have seen crosses over my house. I've just looked up and there's a big cross just over my house. I've had rainbows over my house. And it's always when I'm going through that I'll look up and there's this cross over my house as a reminder that Jesus has paid it all for me to worry, because God has already got it under control, whatever that it may be. God sends us reminders of who he is. He will send a raven. He will send a dove. He will send a feather just to remind us who he is. So don't give up on God, because God, I promise, will not give up on you. He will bring you through whatever your situation. You will have your Purim. You will have your celebration, because you will know that our Father God came through for you. We got to trust in him in everything. And the last few things in Esther that we have as far as life lessons and questions and examples from Dr. Stanley is this one. And it says this, Mordecai bowing before no man. If anyone ever had reason to fudge on what he knew was right, it was Mordecai. Mordecai had a choice, either bow before a powerful Persian official or lose his life. Mordecai stood strong, however, and refused to disobey God's commandment against bowing in worship to anyone but him. Exodus chapter 20. Read it. It has the top 10 is what I call them. The top 10 from the hand of God. And remember that. Whenever somebody says, well, you know, them 10 commandments written by the hand of God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not bow down to them or worship them. God has given us an edit, and we got to follow it. And we're going to go over really quick. Exodus chapter 20. And I say this because it's just a little reminder that we have got to keep God's commandments. And if we go to Exodus chapter 20, and it says that God, no, it didn't say Moses. You know, we get all caught up on what Paul said, but not what God said. We need to get on what God said. You know, Paul was a prophet, an apostle, a great man of God. But you have pastors that love to preach about submission to your masters and all of that. But our master is God. Because they forget to teach this word. But we need to teach this word. And this word says, and God, not Pastor Bridget, not Pastor Jesse, not nobody, but God. God. Not Peter, not James, but God, not Moses, not Aaron, not Esther, Mordecai, but God said, and the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, you shall have no other God before me. And I'm speaking to the evangelicals today. You shall have no other God before me. You cannot worship at the altar of politics. You cannot. I'm a Republican. I'm not worshiping this or that. I worship my political party. And whatever my political party says, that's what I want to do. That's not a God. That's idolatry. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I'm a Pisces. I'm a Taurus. Oh, there you go. No. Stop it. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do not work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor, this is a
a one that we need to be speaking every day. I see such disobedience in children. I see kids cussing out their parents in the grocery store, having hissy fits, falling out, acting like they have no common sense. Children, adult children, who haven't spoken to their parents in 20 years, who haven't said hi, hello to their family. Time you see them is at their parents' funeral. And then they want to hoop and holler and fall out because they have unforgiveness in their heart. But the word of God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You don't have to be old to die. You shall not murder. And I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters of faith who are pro-life. We got to be pro-life all the way around. We can't be, say, I'm against abortion, but yet I'm for the death penalty. Life is life. I can't say I'm against abortion, but yet our children starving in the street, and I don't do anything about it. Instead, I'm ready to let moratoriums fall and people, mothers and children and families be homeless. But I say I'm for life. God is watching everything we do and everything we say. And then the word of God tells us, you shall not commit adultery. But yet we honor adulterers, give our lives for adulterers, do everything we can for adulterers, cheaters of life. And kindness, but yet falling out like they God. You better understand God is all of that. You shall not steal. Understand God is watching us. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, lying. God cannot is abhor to liars. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Top 10. Need to learn them and understand it because God is watching and we wonder why we're going through because we forget who God is. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him, I will trust. We got to remember that. And this is what it says in the life example from Dr. Stanley. Day after day, the lackeys of this vain official tried to reason with Mordecai. But Mordecai refused to bow. Perhaps he remembered God's word. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? And of the Son of Man who will be made like grass. And you forget the Lord your Maker? Isaiah spoke that in Isaiah 51:12-13. It says, and in the end, God not only spared Mordecai's life, but he made him a powerful and honored public official. God means it when he says, those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. We got to honor the Lord our God. We can't get caught up in the foolishness of this world. Because I tell you this, keep bowing down to people and watch what happens when the Lord comes back. Life lessons, Esther 10:3. Mordecai the Jew was second to King Assyria and was great among the Jews. Mordecai took his place along with Joseph and Daniel before him as a godly man, living in exile, whom God raised to a position of authority, second only to the king. God is sovereign and God is good. Our New Testament word is coming out of Romans chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized with Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? Therefore, we were with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, to which, what a word, thank you, Paul, you were delivered. We are delivered from the slavery of sin by grace. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness, excuse me, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that was Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and I'm going to read it one more time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And some life lessons before we get out of here from Romans chapter 6 is this. Romans 6 and 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Paul cannot imagine why anyone who genuinely loves Christ to live for the very sins that cost Jesus his life. How could any real believer glory in what God abhors? Romans 6:6, our old man was crucified with him. We're going to go back and read Romans 6:6. And it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And Dr. Stanley says, before we came to Christ, sin had a chokehold on our lives, and we could do nothing but serve it as obedient slaves. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, however, we gained the power to live for God. For God I live, for God I die. Whew, Jesus, dear Lord. Romans 6 and 11. Reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One day the sin that still dwells in our unredeemed bodies will be eradicated. Until then, we are to draw on the power of the Spirit to put to death the sin that still wants to express itself and obey God for his glory. Hallelujah. And that is our word for this morning. Thank you so very much for joining me as we study and read the word of God. And I just have to go there again to Psalms 91. 1-6. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fort, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under its wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And verse 2, which is our title this morning. One more time. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. I will trust in you today, Lord God. And I thank you, God, for this word this morning. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, goodness, for your kindness, for your love toward us. Hallelujah is all I can say. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus, for your word, Lord God, is true. And we are blessed to be your children. And as Sister Carolyn said this morning in our word for us, good morning, when you put your, come on, y'all. Again, as I say every morning, she and I do not talk. She has no idea what I'm preaching or what I'm teaching. And that's why sometimes I don't even put the word out on my blog until the morning of. Glory. And God gets the glory today. And it says that when you put your trust in Jesus, he will make everything all right. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And our word says, again, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. And again, Sister Carolyn said, when you put your trust in Jesus, he will make everything all right. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that when you put your trust in Jesus, when you put your trust in the Lord, everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Everything will be all right. He is my refuge and my fortress. Jesus is my refuge and my fortress. And then I know that my God, my daddy, in him I will trust. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I will trust in you, Lord. Let God be first in everything you do. Pray and pray some more. And watch God do what he does. Great things in our lives. That's all I have this morning, family. I thank you for listening in. I have filled up as always, because there is nothing like the word of God.
Please join me tomorrow, God's will. In Job chapter 1 and 2, we'll be starting a new book. We'll be in Romans chapter 7, and we'll be continuing in our Psalms 91 and Proverbs chapter 22, starting at verse 13. So I thank you. I thank God for each of you. I ask God to continue to watch over you. I ask God to lift you up. And as we say our prayer every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And again, remember that the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time for us to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. As what? The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.